harvest is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the oceans in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
And now here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, and a very pleasant greeting to all who are in tune with the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma, coming to you over XEG from Monterrey, Mexico. It again gives me great joy to be back with you for another short visit concerning the most important things of life, that is, your spiritual welfare. For our subject from the Scriptures, at this time, I think it would be well for us to consider the following 4 words, lest any man fail. Now, let me read this verse to you in its fullness, found in Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Certainly, a danger exists of one failing in many ways. If this were impossible, it would never have been necessary for this scripture to have been placed in the pages of the Holy Bible. If there was an absolute security given to every believer, then it would become unnecessary for one to watch his every action and guard against even his thoughts, lest they should lead him astray from the straight and narrow path. But the very fact that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, see 2 Corinthians 4:7, is an evident fact that we must guard it diligently, lest any man fail. Now, there are many ways of failing God. One may fail because he commits an act which is sinful, and yet another may fail because he is unwilling to be obedient to the calling of God. Now, consider Judas, one of the 12 apostles who went to the chief priests and asked, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Matthew 26:15-16. Surely Judas had the same advantages as the other disciples, in that he had been with Jesus and witnessed many of the miracles and wonderful manifestations of the great power of God. But somewhere he failed to guard against the powerful forces of the adversary which were working in his life, and his character soon became like a honeycomb, filled with covetousness and greed. Now listen to the words of this poem, which describes Judas so well. Some place amongst the crowd or throng, Judas, who realized his wrong, stood crouching, trembling, neath the gloom. cast o'er him by our Savior's doom. Bowed down with sorrow and with care, the load was more than he could bear. The hours that passed were hours of grief, from which he could not get relief. Filled with the thoughts of what had passed, a mighty gloom was o'er him cast. Gloom and sadness for what had been, remorse and suffering for sin. Thoughts of the one he had betrayed, thoughts of the sacrifice he made, thoughts of the days and years long past, thoughts of the gloom now o'er him cast. Thoughts of the power of a Savior's love, of the loss of a home in heaven above, of that betrayal by a kiss, thoughts of the serpent's horrid hiss. Thoughts of eternity in hell, where he must now forever dwell. Thoughts of all that our Savior bore, thoughts of the punishment in store. Made Judas mad and racked his brain, no doubt he suffered so much in pain. He thought that hell was all around, and he the hottest place had found. From all these from all these torments and this grief, he sought but could not find relief. For comfort, peace, and pardon pled, and wished that he himself were dead. How gladly would he now recall the last few hours and change them all. And Jesus he would reinstate, but now, alas, it was too late. End of quote. Yes, it must have been a dreadful day when Judas came to the realization that he should have guarded his life more closely, lest any man fail. Not all failures, however, lead to such disastrous ending as Judas had. Sometimes a failure will awaken one to a keener sense of duty, and through repentance and courage by faith in God, one will arise to accomplish his duty to both God and man. Thus it was in the case of Peter. After proper confession of his denial of Christ, he received the kiss of pardon and arose to speak boldly of the crucifixion of his Lord. Thus it was also in the case of Jonah, when he was given a second opportunity to warn the great city of Nineveh of the impending judgments of God, he boldly began to declare the overthrow of this city. Take a look at a quotation from John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Here Christian was confronted by Apollon, his adversary, which resulted in a deadly conflict. The chances for the downfall of Christian were great, but he manfully withstood the enemy and did not fail of the grace of God. I quote, Apollon, then Apollon straddled quite over the whole breadth of the way and said, I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare thyself to die, for I swear by my infernal den that thou shalt go no farther. Here will I spill thy soul. And with that he threw a flaming dart at his breast. But Christian held a shield in his hand, with which he caught it, and so prevented the danger of that. Then did Christian draw, for he saw it was time to bestir him. And Apollon as fast made at him, throwing darts as thick as hail, by the which, notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollon wounded him in his head, his hand, and foot. This made Christian give a little back. Apollon, therefore, followed his work amain, and Christian again took courage and resisted as manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for above half a day, even till Christian was almost quite spent. For you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, must needs grow weaker and weaker. Then Apollon, espying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall. And with that, Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollon, I am sure of thee now. And with that he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But, as God would have it, while Apollon was fetching his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand for his sword and caught it, saying, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again. And with that gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And with that Apollyon spread forth his dragon's wings and sped away, that Christian for a season saw him no more. In this combat, no man can imagine, unless he had seen and heard as I did, what yelling and hideous roaring Apollyon made all the time of the fight. He spake like a dragon, and on the other side, what sighs and groans burst from Christian's heart. I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look, till he perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. Then, indeed, he did smile and look upward, but it was a dreadfulest sight that ever I saw. End of quote. Now let us pause for a moment of prayer. Our Father, take the words of the message today, and may they cause each one to give good heed, lest any man fail. Give courage to all who are in deadly conflict to be victorious, for we ask it in the name of Christ, who loved us with an everlasting love. Amen. Here now is a song by Brother and Sister Sal, Brother and Sister Amos Porter and Vera Porter.
When I'm passing through the furnace, he won't forsake me there. He has promised to protect me, and my burdens he will bear. Press on my soul to glory, my journey won't be long. Through trials and tribulation is a way he calls us home. Then why should I be fearful when the raging storm winds blow? If I trust in God Almighty, then the powers of hell must go. Press on my soul to glory, my journey won't be long. Through trials and tribulation is the way he calls us home.
You're listening to the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you have received encouragement, we would like to hear from you. Also, if you would like to have a copy of today's message in printed form, you may have one free of charge by addressing the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Be with us again next Friday night at 11 o'clock over this same station. Until then, this is your speaker, Willie Murphy, saying may God bless you richly and a very pleasant good night.
He calls us home.